good evening, afternoon, midnight, morning, whenever you're listening to this particular broadcast. This is John St. Germain, your kindly reverend, coming to you from Knoxville, Tennessee, with the Crystal Silence League Hour, episode 80. My goodness, haven't we come a long way? They shanghaied me and said, "Hey, John, do the Crystal Silence League Hour. Be the voice of the Crystal Silence League." I said, "Well, my goodness, I don't have time." But look, 80 episodes. Wow. And we've been on the air for a couple of years now. And such longevity. My goodness, I didn't think I'd live this long, much less be on the air this long. And tonight we're going to talk about living the dream, how to bring into reality those things that lurk only in the murky subconscious of your mind. So take a moment and get a warm drink or a cold drink or a lukewarm drink or whatever drink you like and come back in just a minute. And we're back. You're listening to the Crystal Silence League Hour. For those of you that may have thought you were listening to WWF Wrestling Live, sorry, that's the other channel. And we talk about spirituality, and we talk about how to manifest your dreams and goals, and how to meditate, and all that stuff that most people don't care about. So here we are, and the Crystal Silence League, of course, was founded around 1917 by a chap named Claude Alexander Conlon, a very powerful magical adept, for the purpose of radiating positive prayer and affirmation for all those in need. And of course, he passed into the silence around 1954, as all mortals will. Not in 1954, but when their time is up. And when he did, the Crystal Silence League went with him until it was reborn and resurrected in cybernetic form by magical adepts of Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, who you can also find online at missionaryindependent.org. And online you can find the Crystal Silence League at crystalsilenceleague.org, crystalsilenceleague.org. And on that mighty website you'll find many things, including the newsletter that I edit, and you can subscribe to it for free, and you can also post prayers. Now, you can join the Crystal Silence League for a small donation, and you can get a crystal. You can get a crystal ball. You can buy crystals from us, and there's literature, and literature from our founder, Mr. Claude Conlon, and also by me, the Reverend Dr. John St. Germain. I've written a book called Crystal Magic, Divination, Healing, and Spellcraft with Gems and Minerals, that pulls together almost 100 years of new thought, gemology, and geomancy with crystals, crystal balls, and chakra work. So people do post prayers on the Crystal Silence League. We get hundreds of them a week, and it's my custom to read some of these prayers aloud and ask you to join me in prayer. But before we do that, let's look at our crystal of the week, which we also do once a week, which is golden rutile. The golden rutile is golden quartz with needle-like rutiles shooting through it in every direction, which sometimes would be various minerals. A lot of times it's titanium. Sometimes it's iron, which amplify and focus a very exotic type of energy. Now, quartz in any form can store and concentrate, transmit, transform, and generate energies. Rutilated quartz is especially gifted with these abilities due to the rutiles that run through them in every direction. Rutilated quartz can reduce negative thinking and blockages that may stand between you and manifesting the power of your willpower and goals, so you can more easily manifest these dreams and desires. It can amplify and even focus your concentration and your psychic gifts. And our good friend Troll Towelhead has joined us in chat. Welcome. And he's one of our regulars, and he actually holds the LMC network together. Without him, we'd be a shambles. Golden Rutile is believed by many who do crystal healing in helping the lungs and bronchial area. It helps reduce wheezing and allergic symptoms. It resonates with the solar plexus chakra and the sacral chakra, depending on how deep it is. It's usually yellowish brown. Sometimes it's orange, so it can resonate with either one of those or both those chakras. So this helps with matters of personal mastery and issues involving self-esteem and manifestation of your personal will. Now, if you make an elixir from Golden Root Oil, you can do it directly. You place a piece of it in a quantity of spring water, and you can leave it in the sun for a day or two while the water is infused with the properties of the Golden Root Oil. You remove the stone and add a few drops of brandy. The brandy helps the water from developing bacteria more. Don't add more than a few drops. You have a cocktail rather than a infusion, or go right ahead. You know, I have nothing against a brandy Alexander. Take a few drops of this each day. Take a spoonful, you know, or a shot each day of this infusion as a tonic. You can apply it directly to the solar plexus and sacral chakra. And that's hard to say, sacral chakra, as a balancing agent. Or you can sprinkle it around your house to help restore positive energy and remove negative vibrations. Of course, you know, you can put this in a spritzer, you know, spray bottle, and spray yourself with it, or spray a friend with it, or you and a friend can spray each other, you know, mutual spraying, or spray your house with it in the air. That's our Golden Rutile. Very nice piece of quartz. It makes beautiful jewelry. Makes beautiful pendant. Beautiful wands. Wonderful pendulums, etc. Well, let's do some prayer. The Crystal Silence League, which you can find www.crystalsilenceleague.org. Prayer is always free. We get many, many, many prayers. Well over 100 a week, sometimes hundreds a week, depending on the state of affairs. These are posted anonymously, even though pastors such as myself can see pictures and names, if you so desire. This helps us when we pray. All the pastors in the Crystal Silence League print out many of these prayers daily, and we put them on our altar, and we pray for you. And also, many of the members will also pray for you. They'll click on a little button, and you get an email that says, you know, so-and-so has prayed for you. It's been my custom since I started the show to read some of these out loud. I don't read the names. I only read them by prayer ID number. So as to preserve anonymity, that's hard to say too, anonymity. And it's been a long day. You know, I start my day at about 5 a.m., and I do readings for about 6 hours a day, and then I do root work for another 3 hours, and then I do the show. And then we have our almost 3-year-old granddaughter who has been living with us for about a year and a half now. That's kind of like having a wrecking ball. It's like having a cat with a wrecking ball attached in your house, having a 3-year-old living with you. So we shall start our prayers, and while you're at it, pray for us, because we're in our 50s raising a 3-year-old. You know, pray for us while you're at it. But let's get started, shall we? Prayer ID number 56094, who prays, and I'll give you a synopsis of this. I'll paraphrase it. Who prays that his sister leaves him alone. And, you know, may this brother and sister reconcile their differences. May it be so. May they find peace in this family. Amen. And we have a prayer of gratitude from a person who I know, by the way, prayer ID number 56093, who another praise for the Crystal Silence League prayers says, thank you again from the bottom of our hearts. The prayers are unfolding beautifully in our lives. The abusive deadbeat dad was just thrown out of the home in which he was living with this other person because he was caught cheating on her or him. Now he has no home, vehicle, or money. Judge says no support, no visitation. The banishment is working. Keep up the good work. We're very happy to do so, and you're welcome. Prayer ID number 56091, who says, please pray that my romantic relationship with Mr. G is permanently and completely renewed, restored, and strengthened. Pray that G returns to me permanently and that the distance is removed from our relationship and that we grow closer to each other. Pray that all obstacles keeping us apart are completely and permanently torn down, destroyed, and removed. Pray that we spend more time together and that we fall deeper in love with each other. Pray that we stay together no matter what. Amen. That's someone who knows how to pray. My throat's kind of scratchy. We have wildfires around our city, East Tennessee, and the air quality here is very bad, so I'm surprised I have a voice at all, so you have to forgive me if my voice is scratchy. Prayer ID number 55090, who says, please pray that keep praying and there's candles being lit. This is kind of hard to read. Please let Jay heal, that we're together again. Please pray we fix us. I love and need him so much. Amen. Then we have prayer ID number 56089. I pray the passion be restored or made stronger in our relationship with a man whose initials are. I pray that all the love we had before the chaos be restored or made stronger in us both in the name of God. Amen. We have prayer ID number 56088. I pray for a new reasonable roommate. Our current one is a snobbish, demanding, selfish, irresponsible, victimizing herself and complains too much. She often talks and acts like she is better or her lifestyle is better than ours while being a hypocrite. Oh, I hate that kind. She doesn't know how to live with others or communicate without blaming someone else. We're tired of her, need to control, and tired of cleaning up after her. May she be banished from your life. Amen. Prayer ID number 56087. Oh, great St. Joseph of Cupertino, who while on earth did obtain from God the grace to be asked at your examination only the questions you knew, obtain for me a like favor in the examinations for which I am now preparing. In return, I promise to make you known and cause you to be invoked. Through Christ our Lord, St. Joseph of Cupertino, pray for us. Amen. I am grateful. Must be a tough test. May she pass it. Prayer ID number 56086. Prayer for the healing of hearts. We all need it. Amen. Oh, how lovely. How lovely. Prayer ID number 56084. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that the big argument that DB and I had be left in the past. We haven't had a huge argument in over a year, and I ask that our love be rekindled and we both heal from any hurtful words that was spoken. I also ask if there's anyone influencing him be removed from our marriage in your almighty name. Amen. And we have prayer ID number 56083. Please pray that I find a job and or receive a financial blessing before Thanksgiving. The person I was working for wrote me a bad check and doesn't know when she can pay me for September and October. I live alone and need at least $3,000 per month to pay rent and basic expenses. I'm 63 years old and experiencing age discrimination in my job search. I'm worried and can't sleep. I need a miracle. Thank you for your prayers. Amen. Prayer ID number 56082. I thank you for all your prayers. I thank Spirit for the blessings bestowed upon me. Continue to pray for my relationship with L. Pray that we stay close and don't lose contact. Spirit, give him the courage to not be afraid to love me. May he realize that I'm the one for him. Amen. Prayer ID number 56081. Pray with me now, Crystal Silence League, that all the spell work I've cast on TB or had cast for us combines and weaves together and infuses not only me but our love, making it stronger. He told me he's my soulmate. I didn't know it, but now I do. Please let us be together. I pray for the wondrous love T and I share to grow. Please let him move away from the negativity of his family so we can build ours finally. Amen. And we have prayer ID number 56080. I pray for a quick divorce from my ex-husband. I pray for the judge to grant my request for support while the trial happens, including back support. I pray that the judge helps me, favors me, grants me more than half, and quickly, or that my ex settles with the same settlement we were working on before the divorce, or an even better settlement. I pray for it all to end quickly and for him to be kind to me. I pray for my health and my loved ones around me to be healthy as well. Thank you all who help. Amen. Here we have prayer ID number 56079. Please pray all the spell work I've done recently is strengthened by supermoon in your prayers. I believe it was. I believe all that supermoon really helped. And she has about seven prayers here. Let's skip down to this other one. Prayer ID number 56075. Please help us to forgive and learn, and he will stand up and be open and honest to grown-up children who say they'll disown him if we're together due to our last troubles. Oh, that's a terrible situation. He's faithful, reliable, and honest. We resolve things in love and peace. Protect and strengthen us. No one can put us asunder. May it be so. Amen. And let's have prayer ID number 56074. My family and I are trying to recover some of our property so that we can start a business by selling those to be able to help and support our church and people who are in need. However, we're facing some problems caused by our opposition. Please pray for us that we be able to recover our properties and start a profitable business and help people in need for the glory of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Let's have one more. Prayer ID number 56066. Please pray that my fiancé A is released from jail on a shorter period of time. Also that the judge is more in his favor and that the prosecutor sees that he is innocent. May it be so. Amen. Let's have a moment of prayer and meditation for all those in need of prayer and affirmation and healing. Amen. I sure wish everyone would be at peace and be happy. Don't you sometimes just feel the pain and sadness and unhappiness that runs through the world? I always try to find something happy every day. I try to find something joyful and happy every day. We're talking tonight about living the dream, about making your life what you want it to be. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people, they say, you know, what about you, Mr. St. Germain? What about you? And I actually get this a lot. You know, people ask, I don't talk about myself a lot. I'm not me. But I'll tell you a little bit about me. I think my bloodline is very, very ordinary, really. My bloodline is an uneasy amalgam of the Riggs and Taylor tribes, which were two surly and paranoid lineages which stumbled from the mists of primordial time into the present time, angry and confused, convinced that the entire rest of the world was stacked up on the other side of the fence, plotting their extermination. This genetic tendency toward paranoia was good preparation for a career in show business, which I did learn was a cutthroat affair. And that's how I made my living for a long time. I was in show business. I was a stage performer. I did hypnosis shows. And I did some magic and things like that. My family never bothered to trouble themselves with actual knowledge. No one in my family actually went to school. My family tended to make up facts to suit their delusional fancies. They'd cite the Bible and other fictional sources when challenged on their more outrageous claims, and which was interesting because none of them ever read the Bible. And cracking an actual book never seemed to occur to any of them. My mom and dad spent long hours trying to out-BS each other, and their arguments were legendary, spinning off into complicated constructions, rivaling Faulkner and Joyce on a good day. They made no sense whatsoever. My mom always emerged victorious from these battles. Dad would retreat into his bottle in his television sporting events. Mom sought refuge in her romantic world of imagination, where our family was the center of the universe. We were the focus of conspiracies and envy. In reality, of course, we were nobody. Nobody cared what we said, did, or thought. But to my mom, everybody wished they were us and were out to destroy us. And so I guess in retrospect, that idea of bigger than life was a way of life when I was big. And eventually I created a onstage character that was powerful and in control. It was everything my mom wanted our family to be, all-knowing and all-powerful and on top of things. And I didn't realize that till I was about 45, that my entire performing career was the apotheosis of my mother's vision of what my family could have been if the fates were kinder to our family. And in light of that constant lifelong struggle that was the life of a performer, I was always puzzled, why did I keep doing it? And I think that was what always was burning in the secret furnace of my mind. The fuel that drove me ever since I was a child was the determination to vindicate my mother's belief that we, my family, were something special, even if it was only through the make-believe magic of theater. And I always think now, today, as crazy and delusional as my parents were, I do miss them. And I think I prefer their imaginary world to the real one that we actually find ourselves in now. And it seems like in the world we live in now, all the magic is gone. It's replaced by this dry cynicism. And sometimes at night, I think maybe they had it right. Maybe being crazy is the secret to happiness. And I'll tell you that I remember the moment I decided my future career path. People used to ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I was 6 years old. They said, "What do you want to be when you grow up, Johnny?" I said, "I want to be a wizard." And in East Tennessee in the early '60s, that was like saying, "Gee, I want to worship Satan and all of his imps. Thanks for asking." You know, my family dabbled in fortune telling. It was expected that I was straight on the highway to hell. And to put this in retrospect and understand this, what a bold career decision this was, especially for a six-year-old, you got to understand the religious and intellectual climate of East Tennessee in the '60s. And I'll give you one story. In the fourth grade, I did a book report on the origin of species. I'd recently read it. I found it very interesting what parts I could understand, and I wanted to share it with my classmates. I also knew a good controversy when I saw it, and I wanted to see the reaction I got when I dropped this intellectual cluster bomb on my Southern fried contemporaries. Now, bear in mind that I come from the part of the country that outlawed evolution. I come from East Tennessee. Now, even though the ruling was overturned, that didn't matter. Along with the outcome of the Civil War, East Tennesseans never accepted evolution as a proven fact. East Tennesseans are still rebels, and we stopped evolving. The judge said stop evolving, and we did. You know, the North won the Civil War. We've been in denial about that too. You know, free spirits all, we yield not to the laws of government, man, nor nature here in the South. So I never got to deliver that report. Unfortunately, for my attempt to elevate the minds of my contemporaries, we had a Bible-thumping substitute teacher. Her name was Mrs. Like. I never will forget her. She hated me. We had Mrs. Like that day, who was so appalled at hearing the name Darwin that she dropped her coffee cup on the floor, that shattered into fragments on the floor. So, substitute teacher, Mrs. Like, Bible in one hand and my ear in the other, hoisted me to the principal's office by that convenient jug handle that every kid has. Now, in the mid-60s, teachers could do that. We had prayer in the school. We had spankings in the school. Whereupon the principal, who was a scary, iron-tough woman named Mrs. Gray, appropriately named, lectured me on God and Satan. And she demanded to know, what kind of family do you come from that allows you to read this kind of trash? Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I got Darwin's heretical work from the public library, and my family wouldn't have a clue what it was about. And it just so happened my family liked trash. The only books I remember around my house involved racy cartoons and jokes I didn't understand until I was about 17 in bed with my first female, when the light went on in my head and I said, oh, now I get those jokes. Mrs. Gray soon learned what kind of family I came from, the very dangerous kind to mess with. So my mother answered Principal Gray's stern phone call in a manner I'm sure that poor woman hadn't anticipated. If the principal had been hoping for a kindred spirit, a partner in her determination to make me get with the program, her hopes were soon shattered, kind of like Mrs. Like's cup on the floor. My mom burst into that office, her eyes flashing fire, screaming over the principal's stuttering remonstrations, and threatened to run her over in the parking lot after school for daring to question the family's integrity. Iron had met fire and was rendered shapeless in the forge of my mother's Irish fury. And for 2 weeks, I'm told, a fearful Mrs. Gray checked the parking lot for signs of my mom's Chevrolet before fleeing to the modest haven of her own little car. So I guess the point of all this is my family was crazy and they fought like cats and dogs among ourselves. But if an interloper so much as glared at any one of us, we banded together, we sharpened our knives with gleeful passion and took a break from our squabbling long enough to reduce that hapless interloper to quivering rags. Now, I guess it's a Southern thing. Now, I knew a lot of things about my family. We were not normal, not sociable, not even sane. But I knew two things. If I got into trouble, they had my back. And I knew my parents loved me. And I think those two things made everything okay. I knew my family had my back, and I knew my parents loved me in their own crazy way. So in all the ups and downs of my life, I had this center that things are going to be okay. And when I've talked to people who didn't have that center, I found something in common with them. I think they didn't have any kind of sense that things are going to be okay. And talking to them more, I think they didn't really feel that their family was behind them And I don't think that they really believe their family loved them. So it's a very, very difficult thing when these core beliefs are not met. So what to do? We have to think about when we're manifesting our dreams, we have to understand that there can be no room for disbelief or doubt. I guess it's as good a time as any to talk about a thing called the, and I want to find it here, the seven laws of attraction. Much has been said about this, the seven laws of attraction. This is attracting anything into your life. And I know the self-help people like to talk about it a lot, but we'll talk about it anyway. The seven laws of attraction are intense desire, imagination and conceptualization, affirmation, focus with confidence, profound belief, gratitude, and manifestation. And I want to talk about these one at a time. First is intense desire. And I don't see a lot of that in a lot of people. You know, people say, well, I would kind of like to have this, you know, I would sort of like to have this, but I'm not sure I can. I would like to have a better job, but I don't want to leave the job I have now. I would like to have a better relationship, but I don't think I'm worthy of it. You know, I don't think I'll ever have it. You know, I'd like to have somebody that loves me with all their heart. I'd love to be the center of their world, but I just don't think that kind of thing really happens to people like me. This is not intense desire. This is maybe. And the laws that we learn in New Thought, what you send out there, you will certainly get back. If you send out a maybe is what you're going to get. If you send out, I'm not sure about it, not sure is what you're going to get back. And that's why so many of us have a job we don't really like. It pays the bills, but we don't really like it. That's why we only get relationships that are maybes. You know, they're half in the door and half out. And that's why we're just moderately content and not really happy. You know what most people's idea of happiness is? They hurt a little less today than they did yesterday. It's a moderate relaxation of the discomfort they felt yesterday. They go, yeah, I feel pretty good today. Are you happy? Well, I feel pretty good. I'm not as bad as I was yesterday. And it's a moderate decrease of the discomfort that they felt yesterday. That is not not great. If you're not relaxed and happy and moving upward, you're not in your natural productive phase. So that intense desire, you know, what do you want? What do you want? And if the greatest desire you have is to get the hell home from work and get in front of your television and marathon watch Golden Girls on Netflix or something, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you. But I can't, I don't know what I have to teach you and what I have to tell you is not going to help you. But if your intense desire is to manifest greatness in this world, the things I have to tell you might help you. And some of you might say, well, you know, what are your qualifications for teaching, you know, for telling me this? Well, I've had some real ups and downs in life, man. I can tell you that we're about to close on a house, a mansion. And it is a mansion. It's a turn-of-the-century mansion. And by turn-of-the-century, I don't mean 2000. I mean 1900s. And we're going to put up the house we currently now own on rent. So, you know, basically I'm a man that's going to own two very nice houses. One will be income-generating. And I'm going to tell you, 3.5 years ago, I came to Tennessee from Indiana after a divorce that cleaned me out. And I had $1,300 in my pocket. So in 3.5 years, I went from having nothing to owning two houses. And that is a tremendous prosperity curve manifested. So, you know, if you want to hear about manifestation, I'm the guy to do it. You want to hear about building wealth, I'm the guy to talk to. You want to hear about going from nothing. You know, and I've done this a number of times in my life. And I'll tell you, Napoleon Hill, a great the great guy, Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill made and lost several fortunes in his life. And, you know, people say, well, why couldn't he hold on to it? Well, life does that sometimes. You know, if you're looking for a perfect life where bad things don't happen to you, good luck for that. You know, this is samsara. This is the world. And my fatal flaw was that I had a hobby of trying to fix women, which I gave up on. And as soon as I gave up on it, I was able to maintain prosperity. But I married people who were bound to not work out for me. I loved them. They were wonderful women, but they could not live with a guy like me. And I thought, well, you know, it'll work out anyway, but it didn't. And, you know, I didn't say that I could, teach you about how to have a perfect marriage. I'm telling you, I can tell you how to manifest wealth. And I've done that several times in my life. So Napoleon Hill, you know, the great guru, he also had ups and downs, but every time he went broke, he rebuilt. And I'm going to tell you that I have been broke, but I've never been poor, because my money has always been out there and I've always been able to get it back in my pocket. I can manifest. I'm the man to talk to about manifestation. And this is because I have never allowed failure to be an option. I have intense desire and I have profound belief in myself that I can get right. I'll tell you that I taught a seminar a couple of years ago. I retired from show business, you know, some time ago. And when I was in show business, I was very successful. I was very successful at it. And I was asked to teach some stagecraft a couple of years ago to some younger performers. And they had a question and answer period. And they asked a lot of questions. I gave them a lot of answer. And there was some feedback. And some of the people said, well, one thing about John is he's got a bigger ego than somebody. And he's got a huge ego. And I was thinking about this. I said, you know, I really don't. I don't have a huge ego. But what I have is a profound belief in myself. I have utter confidence in my ability to produce. I have utter confidence in my ability to succeed. I have utter belief in my competency and my professionalism. I know that I'm good. I know what I can do. I don't have any uncertainty about my expertise in my field. And this confidence and this self-belief, I don't have any self-doubt that I know what I'm talking about. I don't have any self-doubt that I will succeed at what I do, that I am knowledgeable and that I can succeed at what I put my mind to. I know myself. And this confidence was, this self-confidence was read by people who do not have confidence in themselves as having a big ego. And that's not the case. Self-confidence is not having a big ego. It's a big ego if you don't have self-confidence and you go around acting, you know, like a big shit. So intense desire will provide the fuel for your manifestation. Now, the next thing, though, you got to know what you're going for, right? So you have imagination and conceptualization. This is where you sit down every day and clearly imagine and conceptualize what you want. They used to tell you in school that daydreaming was a bad thing for you. It really isn't. This is where you imagine yourself doing and having and possessing that which you want. You see yourself with that. If your manifestation is owning your own home, if your manifestation is playing the piano, playing basketball, studies have shown that you rewire your brain through this process. Studies have shown this. Now, these setbacks and failures in life do not internalize a situation. If you're unemployed, don't internalize that. Don't let it define you. Don't think I am unemployed. You think and visualize my ideal job and I are finding each other. When a relationship doesn't work out the way you'd hoped, don't think of it as a failure, but as a transformation. Now, yes, I've had relationships that I'm no longer with. I stopped thinking of those that, you know, these relationships failed. They changed. The relationships that changed. those relationships did not fail. They did not end. They changed. And, you know, I was married a number of times, and people say, why'd you keep trying? It's like, well, I didn't keep trying. You know, when you're playing a piano, you don't learn, you don't play the song perfectly the first time you play it. If playing a song incorrectly, if you stop the first time you play a song incorrectly, you'll never learn to play the song correctly. You know, that does not mean that you failed at playing the piano. That just means that you have to keep trying. You have to keep practicing. That's probably a bad analogy for things like marriage or relationships, but man, if you get a relationship right the first time you have it, then, you know, my hat's off to you. But you probably are not going to spend the rest of your life with the very first person you have a relationship with. Relationships have shelf lives, I think. Some are long, some are short. And it puts a lot of pressure on a relationship to say, we're going to be together forever, whether we like it or not. And I'm going to tell you that a lot of relationships, a lot of people stay together out of just spite. You know, it's like, I'm not going to quit. Well, I'm not going to quit either. And they hate each other. But they're just together out of spite. You know, neither one of them is going to surrender. And this was, you know, like the old style. You know, I know my mom and dad stayed married for 25 years, and they hated each other the last 10 years of that marriage. You know, finally we did. The kids, we just said, you know, will you all get divorced? You know, you're driving us crazy. You know, we begged and said, quit. You know, you're fighting all the time. You're driving us crazy. Would you just go ahead and get divorced, you know, so we can sleep at night? You know, they hated each other. They were staying together out of spite. It was like neither one of them was going to surrender. So because a relationship ends, that means it's a failure. It means it's time to move on. It's a transformation. Don't think in terms that a setback is a failure. Think in terms that this is a learning experience. It's a transformation. Don't internalize it. Don't define yourself by that. So imagination and conceptualization. See yourself in that. And what we know is that when, and this is a very interesting thing, and this is a scientific fact, the more you think of something, the more it hardwires your brain. Thought occurs when synapses of the brain, there's a gap between two brain cells called a synapse. The more you think, the more that synapse fires, and the closer the synapses grow together. So if you're thinking a lot of negative thoughts, certain synapses in your brain are going like spark plugs, and they grow closer together, and this hardwires your brain to think sad thoughts, angry thoughts, happy thoughts. This is just a scientific fact. So if you find yourself dwelling on negative thoughts all the time, you're grooving that into your brain. So if you find yourself doing that, it's imperative that you stop and replace it with something happier, redirect it. So you have to redirect that. Now, sometimes negative thoughts is your intuition telling you something's wrong. You know, if you're in a bad situation, then sometimes your intuition is saying, you know, this needs changing. If these unresolved issues need changing, listen to it. But, you know, that's when you have to reflect or redirect. That's, you know, that's what, if you're thinking negative thoughts, reflect or redirect. Is it something that you need to reflect on and change, or do you need to redirect it? If it's morbid thinking. So sometimes you need to change the scenery. You just have to go, get out and do something. So don't, but you know, it doesn't do anybody any good to just sit and dwell on these negative thoughts, especially thoughts of failure. And so part of this imagination and conceptualization is being aware of your environment and seeing what changes in your mind, what changes need to be made. And just simple changes in your environment sometimes can do this. But these synapses between brain cells are separated by this tiny gap. And when thought occurs, that electric spark jumps across it. So this spark activity will cause the synapses to move closer together and increase speed and efficiency. And it's real-world evidence that thought will affect your reality. You can train your mind to be more efficient, think faster, and work to your benefit by training your mind to think a certain way. Now, affirmation means that you reinforce your goals, and you always do this in the current tense. I am successful. I am happy. I am prosperous. I am moving in the right direction. It's always in the current. I am loved. I am finding my right partner. You always, this is what we learn. We do codes, you know, in the New Thought. We say, you know, my love, I'm moving toward you. You're moving toward me. Let's find each other. You know, I am prosperous, rich, and happy. You know, my money is coming to me. You always do this in the present tense. You always do it. You feel it. You feel the prosperity. You don't, you know, you might not have a nickel in your pocket, but you are prosperous. You're not broke. You know, you may be broke, but you're not poor. Poor is lifestyle. Broke is temporary. That's something you should engrave. Engrave in the back of your hand. Broke is temporary. Poor is a lifestyle. That's a state of mind. You know, that's a decision you make, but broke is temporary. You may not have a penny in your pocket, but your money's out there. You just have to get your hands on it. Affirmation. Then you focus with confidence. The confidence means that you know you're going to get it. You know, failure's not an option. You know you're going to get it. You know it's coming to you. You know you're going to get it. Your goal, it's failure's not an option. You're going to get it. You're going to get that job. You're going to get that degree. You're going to become that. When I was 6 years old, they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm going to be a wizard. That's exactly what I became. And I am one of the very few people I've ever met in my life who achieved their childhood goal. I lived the childhood dream. I'm one of the very few people who did that. I went to school with a girl who was going to be a violinist, and she did. And of my first grade class, I and her, the only two people who became what we said. I mean, I'm going to be a fireman. I'm going to be a race car driver. I'm going to be Batman. I don't know. That one kid might have become Batman. I don't know. But we were the only two who actually grew up and became what we were going to be. You know, I am a wizard. I'm casting magic spells. You know, I'm doing magic. I'm a sorcerer. I'm a spellcaster. I'm a psychic. I'm a clairvoyant. I can do some card tricks if you want to see them. But so I manifested my childhood goal. And if I told you what I went through to do that, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears, the money I've spent, it would break your heart. But also, I didn't do it alone. I didn't do it alone. And so we go to profound belief, and really, that law of attraction means that you believe that the universe is on your side. You believe that there is opportunities and that they will manifest themselves, and they go down to gratitude. And this means that you can't do anything like this alone. There are people that are going to help you, and you got to be grateful, and you got to show your gratitude. And, you know, I got a shout out to my guys at AIR, the Iron Woods. I got a shout out to people at Hoodoo Psychics. I got a shout out to the Lucky Mojo people. I got a shout out to my mentor Charles Scott. I got a shout out to Ron Martin, and you know, just all along the lines, there are people. My grandfather, my grandmother. There's just countless people who help you along the line, and you got to be grateful. You got to be grateful to them. You can't ever say I did this myself, because none of us did. None of us have done this ourselves. There, you got to have that gratitude, and that gratitude acts as fuel, and that's where. That's the difference between, you know, like I said, this guy said I had a big ego. No, I have confidence. I don't have a big ego because I know I could have never gotten here without some help. Shout out to my buddy Sebastian Black, who loaned me money when I had none. You know, he loaned me some money when I had no money, and it took me a year to pay him back, but I did. And, you know, I'm grateful to him. And then we have manifestation. And manifestation means, you know, a dream is no good if it stays in your head, right? There's this old story that said three frogs were sitting on a log. One of them decided to jump off. How many frogs were left on the log? The answer is not two, it's three, because that frog only decided to jump off. He never acted. So you got to manifest. You got to make it real. And this is where a lot of people fall down. And you know, the plan we're making now, my wife and I, we have one property, we have one house, we're buying another, and we had to decide, are we going to sell the first property or are we going to rent it? And as soon as we started talking about that, I cannot tell you how many people were naysayers. They said, oh man, you don't want to do that. That's so much trouble. You know, what if you don't get a renter and, you know, you got to pay two mortgages. You got renters that are tearing the place up and man, they call you in the middle of the night with a clogged up. I can't tell you how many people were naysayers on this. None of them have ever done it. So to manifest, one of the things you need to do is find people that are doing what you're doing. Not people who aren't doing what you're doing, because people talk themselves out of doing stuff all the time. We started talking to people who did it, and they're saying, "Oh yeah, yeah, that's what you want to do. You don't sell it. No, no, you want to rent it. That's exactly what you want to do, and here's how you do it." So we learned how to do it, and it's not that big a deal. And believe me, if you knew how easy it was to rent property out, you'd be out there trying to buy some. So. This, you know, part of manifestation is believing you can do it, and also manifesting it. I'm telling you, it was scary, you know, because this is something that, you know, it's a responsibility and it's scary. Part of manifestation is conquering that fear. But everything I've ever done in my life, I was scared of it. I said, man, I used to work in a number. You know, I've had day jobs and there's a security to it, but during the Clinton administration, I went full time working for myself, and I never looked back. And there were times I was pretty scared. I said, "Man, am I going to be able to, go ahead with this? Am I going to be able to make the rent and everything?" But I always did, and that's the power of belief. The power of belief. There were times when I said, "I don't have rent." And that was a long time ago. It's been a long time since I've been in that situation. But when I was a younger man, I don't have rent. And the universe always provided for me. I never doubted it would. And I got to the point where I counted on it. There were times I'd look, I'd be about 2 weeks away from the end of the month. And I say, I don't quite have enough money to make ends meet. And I say, okay, phone, come on. And the phone would ring and I'd get something, you know, that would come in and it would be enough. But I got tired of living that way. And I said, I need to manifest more. And I realized that that's what I was manifesting. I was manifesting enough to get by. And I said, I need to manifest more. So I began to manifest not just enough to get by, but prosperity. And see, because that was how my parents lived. My parents just got by. And I was manifesting my parents' dream, not mine. And I began to manifest prosperity. And once I did that, I had not only enough to get by, but enough to put in the bank against a rainy day. So let's do some station identification, and we'll be right back.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candelo's Corner with Candelo Camusa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Bit and Foxy with Madame Naya and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Friday 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And we're back. We're talking about living your dream and manifesting your dream. The there should be an eighth law there, and that's owning it. Once you've manifested it, there it is. There's a big responsibility of owning it, owning your dream. So now you've got your company started, you got your store, you got your job. Now there's a responsibility of owning it. Can you maintain it? Because sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for. Say you've got that ideal house, you've got that ideal company, you've got your business up and running. Now, and this is important if you're self-employed, you become your own boss. You don't have somebody telling you when to get up. You don't have somebody telling you when to quit. You don't have somebody telling you it's time to work. It's time to mine out clients. It's time to do your work. So you think, well, I'll just sleep till noon. You know, I'll just work 2 hours a day. I'll just marathon watch Supernatural. I don't feel like working today. Well, that's a good way to go out of business. I don't feel good today. You know, I'm having a sinus headache today. I don't think I work today. It's a good way to go out of business. So you have to be both your own boss and your own employee. How do you run your business? Do you just collect money and at the end of the year decide whether you made a profit or a loss? Do you set it up as an LLC and pay yourself a payroll check? How do you do this? Are you your own accountant? Now, I'm going to tell you, in most cases, the sole proprietor who acts as his own accountant has a fool for a bookkeeper. But you can do it. You can learn how to do it. But, you know, it's $300 or so to get someone to do your books for you, $300 to $500, and it can save you a lot more come tax time. So, you know, once you live your dream, you have to manifest it. I knew a fellow who this is probably the weirdest manifestation story I'm ever going to tell you. This was a guy who was he told his story on the radio. He was on an interview, but he really wanted a Ferrari, or it might have been a Lamborghini. It might be a Lamborghini, but he said he was trying to manifest a Lamborghini, and he was behind, you know, those big trailers that have multiple cars on them. You know, they have like a dozen cars on them, and he was driving behind one on the interstate. And a car broke loose. It was improperly chained to the top, and it broke loose and landed on his car on the interstate. They weren't driving very fast, fortunately. They were only driving about 30 miles an hour. But this car landed on his car, you know, and he was injured, but not very seriously. But it was a Lamborghini. And so he worked out a deal with the dealer not to sue him in exchange for a Lamborghini. So he manifested a Lamborghini, right? And that's what he'd been – you know, he'd read one of these law of attraction books and he tried to manifest it. Well, now he had a Lamborghini. Unfortunately, though, Lamborghinis are high maintenance cars. And over the course of about a year and a half or so, he couldn't afford the maintenance. It basically bankrupted him trying to drive this car. But he couldn't give it up, right? So he took out a second mortgage on his home, and he basically became a douchebag and lost his job. This car ruined him, and eventually he wound up selling it, and you know, trying to get it. He became addicted to drugs and things. This car—it's like winning the lottery. This car ruined him. He manifested it, but it was more than he could handle, and. I remember I laughed, a Lamborghini literally dropped out of the sky on him, and I laughed about it. But then he started talking about how it ruined him. Eventually he found Jesus, you know, he found religion after this and became a humble man, and said, you know, you got to be careful what you ask for, because once you ask for it, you have to own it. So set your dreams within reasonable boundaries, and sometimes your dreams have to be achieved in steps. So that should be the eighth law of attraction, is that own what you manifest and make sure you can manage it, because that's got to be very important. I hear a lot of people say they want greatness, but they're not ready for greatness. They're not ready for it. Take it a step at a time. Grow into your dream. And maybe that should be number one, you know, grow into your dream. I'm 57 years old. I'll tell you that when I was 20, I thought I knew everything about this business. Then when I was 30, I looked back at 20, I said, I knew nothing about this business. I'm much better now. When I was 40, I looked back on 30 and I said, I knew nothing about this business when I was 30. Now I know everything. When I was 50, I looked back on 40. I said, at 40, I knew, man, I didn't know what I was doing. Now I know better. I'm 57. I look back when I was 50. I go, man, I shouldn't. I knew nothing about this business. I know much more now. And there's no doubt in my mind, when I'm 70 and I look back on me now at 57, I want to say, man, Riggs, St. Germain, you know, you knew nothing about that business at 57. You had no business doing it. So you see, you have to take small steps. We're out of time. I hope you've enjoyed this somewhat disgruntled show and Ramblings of an Old Curmudgeon, it should have been titled. Do come back next week and we will continue our discussion. You know, I love you guys and we'll see you again. Bye.